You've only gone and downloaded a multiplesources.net podcast. For more episodes of this show and a bunch of other content covering everything from NBA teams to professional wrestling, visit multiplesources.net. Multiplesources.net. But wait, act now and you too could join multiplesources.net. Yeah, we're looking for people to do their own podcasts about different NBA teams. We're looking for blog authors, video highlight creators, basically anything you can think of to write about sports. You can kind of write or create to your heart's content. So if you want to help us and join this up-and-coming independent blog and podcast network monster, go to multiplesources.net. I'll stick something in the sidebar that says join us or something equally unfunny. So go and click on that. Join us.
Hello everybody and welcome to Three Men and a Beard, the Houston Rockets podcast for the 24th of February 2016. We are a Multiple Sources podcast and today I'm here, that's me, Jazz, and with me is Jeff and Max. How's it going, guys?
It's going good, man.
Been kind of an up and down.
Stopped raining, so.
Oh yeah, that too. But
it rained like hell on Monday and, or was it, and a little bit of Tuesday, so much better now, much, actually nice weather.
Ah, rain, mimicking the Rockets season.
Wow, what a way
to start the show. We're to start the show on a low note. That's not the way we should have done this.
Oh, well.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, it was, I guess it was a bit of an up and down week for us this week. Just coming back from the All-Star break, we go 1-1 for the week, winning against the Suns and losing a close game against Utah, but the record's now 28-29, so we're back under 500 again. It seems like we always reach that 500 mark, then just fall off, but that seems to be the way it's going this season. We're still ninth in the West behind, we're actually two games back from Portland now, and we're only a half game back from Utah. So just wanted to get like a quick like overview of like, what are you guys feeling about the team right now? Is this still the same, just dejection, or just, like is there any hope for this team at the moment, or are you guys just kind of just so sour on the team right now?
I'll let Jeff go first.
Well, yeah, I guess, I mean, pretty much the same as last week, you know. I mean, what was it? Like, I looked up a stat, earlier today about, their offense and defense. I mean, the offense is okay. It's like, you know, I want to say it's like 11th. Oh, and this was since January 1st. But defensively, you know, 25th in the league. So that's like, and this is defensive rating, like, you know, adjusted for pace and everything. So that, I mean, which 25th is like, you know, I mean, we were that way at the beginning of the season, but you would think that like, okay, you get the new coach in and do some adjustments, you know, things might get better. But I mean, the fact that it's kind of still that bad, even you know, I guess even months into the season, you know, I don't know, that's kind of something really bad about, you know, the team this year, essentially.
Yeah, it's been kind of, I guess we've been saying this every week, but it's just been so up and down this week. It's kind of just, it's been basically a roller coaster for this whole season. Just, we have our highs and good games, and we think we're getting back in. Oh, this is the Rockets team from last season. And then we get these games where we're just like, oh, this is the Rockets team from this season, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of...
Oh, man. Well, this podcast is going to be very sour. I could feel it. Yeah, I guess just, like, I wanted to, like, go on to this quick trade update. Really weird situation happening to start the week after the All-Star break. Apparently... the Demo trade that we discussed last week, where we sent Demo and Thornton to the Detroit Pistons and got back a first-round pick, that was actually voided. Like, the Detroit Pistons ran, like, a gamut of physical tests on Demo's back, and they actually determined that his back problems might be a recurring injury for the rest of his career. So they actually voided the trade, and now Demo and Thornton are back on the team. Like... What I'll give this one to you, Max. Like, what are your feelings about this? It's kind of an awkward situation.
It is awkward. The weird thing to me is that Demo is telling the press and his teammates and coaches, I assume, and everybody that he's 100% healthy. He's been playing games in the D-League with us. So to void a trade, I mean, you made the trade with the guy knowing that he has a history of a bad back. Then you get the guy who's been playing games, and you say, oh, this guy's got a bad back. We're going to void the trade. It's really weird why they even accepted the trade to begin with, in my opinion, and I'm just a little baffled that it all went down like that. It's very, very weird, and it kind of makes... Does this make that Morey didn't make a move this season? Because this would be the first season he didn't make a move, if this is... If this doesn't
technically
count.
Yeah.
Yeah, officially, I guess you're right. Yeah, he didn't... Like, when it all shakes out, like, no moves were made. This is the exact same team we started with, and it looks like it's the exact same team we're going to end on, unless somebody gets waived, which I don't think will happen.
So what do you guys think? Do you think it's, like, something shady going on with Detroit, or, like, what was the deal with, like, why take a guy that you know has been hurt for the past few years, and all of a sudden, oh, he's actually hurt? Void the trade.
I'm not quite sure.
I was going to say, like, I'm not quite sure what to make of it, but I mean, it does seem like something weird behind the scenes going on. I don't think this was like a malicious thing because it's Detroit. I mean, maybe like because it's Stan Van Gundy's the coach, so maybe they're like, and he's the GM, I believe. So maybe there's like some weird like Dwight thing or something, but like I don't think that anything like that's going on. I mean, that's the only. I don't know. I think it's just maybe they just changed their mind or something, and this was their way of backing out. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
Like, it was even stranger to me that they would void a trade. Like, back to your point, that it is a Stan Van Gundy team. Like, he loves his stretch fours, and it seems like he would even with the chance of a possible future back issue, it seems like he would be, like, really on board with keeping him no matter what, because, like, that's kind of, like, the basis for his kind of whole offensive scheme. Like, he's doing that, like, four-out scheme where they've got, like, shooters around Andre Drummond. And obviously, like, Thornton and Demo, they're both fairly good perimeter shooters, and it just seems like that'll be... That's kind of a weird move for him to make. Like, I just feel like if... Like, unless it was, like, super, super bad that his back is, like, never going to recover or, like, be able to consistently play, then, like, I feel like he would have been one to try to keep him at all costs, basically. Because, like, Demo played, like, a fair amount of the games last season. It was only towards the end of the season that he got re-injured his back, and he's played a few games this season, and but it's just kind of a weird situation to me. Like, I as you said, like, I don't think there's anything shady going on. It's kind of weird that he wouldn't keep it, like, all the shooters that he could.
Yeah, that, I mean, man, and then I don't, but I mean, from the Rockets' perspective, I mean, it does suck that we're kind of stuck with the same issue that we were before the trade deadline, where you have both Terrence Jones and Demo that are going to be restricted this offseason. So probably one of them is going to walk, but I mean, if Demo, you know, gets healthy, you know, he's going to be a plus on the court. So I mean, that's, and I mean, we're kind of in a weird spot with our power forwards right now. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, having Demo last night, I think, would have really helped our chances to win that game. But back to the trade in and of itself, if you look at it now, if the Rockets miss the playoffs, we don't have a first round pick, and if we make the playoffs, or no, if we make the playoffs now, we don't have a first pick. Sorry, I misspoke. Because we've traded away our pick protected. And then and this deal would have made it to where if we make the playoffs, so we at least have a first round pick, which it looks likely, I think, that we would make the 8 seed, just seeing how the Suns are completely tanking. And we still, have a chance to get the tiebreaker over the Jazz even after what happened. So I just think, like, it's like a worst case scenario now to make the playoffs for the good of the team going forward.
Well, like, do we own now for any first round picks of our own in this upcoming draft, or did you say that we traded them all away?
We owe it if we are not a lottery team.
Oh, if we're not a lottery team, then we still keep our first round pick.
If we are a lottery team, we keep our first round pick. If we are not a lottery team, we have to trade it. So this trade would have been nice if we do make the playoffs, which we potentially could, you know, fall fall into the playoffs accidentally kind of thing, we won't have a first round pick at all.
Yeah, that's kind of an awkward. That's another like pretty bad situation to be in. Like, you know, like I don't think like I still think this team is talented enough to like make the playoffs. So like it's kind of that like weird situation where like this team, I don't think Leslie Alexander is going to want this team to like crash into the like bottom of the 16 teams in the West just so they can get a pick. So like,
yeah,
I think they're just going to keep playing and then hope for the best in free agency, because like we did talk about it last week, like it seems like kind of a foregone conclusion that Dwight might be gone. And like back to Demo, like I guess the kind of the silver lining on the fact that the test came back pretty bad for his back, like I think that might bode well for us if we want to retain him. Like because people aren't going to want to pay him a ton, knowing that he's got those chronic back issues. So we might be able to actually retain him on a cheaper contract. So I'm not too worried about Demo, but yeah, I just don't know how this playoff run is going to shake out. Whether we're going to like really go for it or just slog into the playoffs, hopefully.
Well, I'll say about re-signing Demo potentially. Salary cap is about to blow up next season, so somebody will probably overpay for him, and we've shown that we don't want him. Unless he comes back and has a decent end of the year, I don't see us re-signing him. And if he does, he might go for even more expensive on the free agent market. So I don't really see that.
Look, I'm not like what I'm about to say is there's a lot of prefaces about it. Like if we do want to try and like go all out and go try really hard to get Kevin Durant, this is, as I said, this is a very unlikely scenario. Like if we do get rid of if we do lose Demo, then I think if they're gonna go hard to try and get Durant, then I think Demo is just one of those pieces that are gonna like fall out of the roster along with Dwight, and then like this off season seems to be like they're gonna try and go really hard in free agency, and like a lot of these pieces might not be back next year anyway.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Jeff.
Well, no, I was going to say, Durant, it could be anyone. I mean, I think we're kind of like, we're not going to get Durant probably just based off of like,
yeah, how good of a team I'm not putting all my hopes on that.
Yeah, but I mean, like any free agent, I guess you could say, but yeah, I mean, like, it's one of those things where you have to, the better we finish in the regular season, that's going to increase our chances of like signing a solid free agent in the offseason.
That's definitely true. Like,
that was basically the only point I was trying to make.
Like, it's really hard to kind of like see into like what they're thinking about free agency in this offseason. Cause, there were talks that we were going to try and get Al Horford. And to me, like, just like thinking about it for the past week, like, he seems kind of maybe the perfect kind of center to pair with Harden, because like basically like what we want, like we like Daryl Morey and Les Alexander, they want shooters at basically every position, it seems, but they also need a really good interior defender, which is kind of Al Horford's game. Like he's I just looked up his stats and I think he's around like 35% from three on the year. So like he's definitely able to knock down some threes, which we saw against the Hawks in that one game where we just like collapsed and he hit like five threes. But he's also a fairly decent interior defender as well. He can like stay with his man and like he can get a couple block shots every now and then. But he's just like a solid defender. And like if we somehow sign him in free agency, I think I'd be very happy with that as a consolation to losing Dwight.
Yeah, I mean they're kind of both the same player almost at this point. So I mean that's not too bad of a move.
Was there anything else you guys had to say about this move? Like, it just seems like I don't know how it's going to play out. Like, Demo obviously hasn't been playing, but as you said, Max, he has been playing in the D League a fair amount. So maybe if you get him back, he can like be the key to a playoff push into like the seventh or eighth seed. But like, did you guys have anything else you wanted to kind of bring up about the awkwardness of the situation?
Not about that. You mentioned talent. that this team, you know, isn't any less talented than they were last year. We had the talent to potentially win a championship. I think that's actually true. I mean, really, all we lost was like Pablo Prigioni. So,
the most talented player.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's really missing him a lot. He's like a world beater over in LA or something like that. Probably he's actually probably better than Kobe at this point in his career. So there's that. But anyway, I mean, I just really feel like we should be giving some of the other guys on the team a chance, because this, just watching the end of the game last night, it was just like, it's like these are the five most guys who want it most out there. It just watching them go up and down the court, it's just like, to me, it's just like we need to do better.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Like at the end of the game, like, we will get to that, but like I'm just like a little bit of jumping ahead. Like in the Utah game, like it was kind of weird. Like in the last like 5 minutes in the game, we're running out with Jet, and like he hit a couple of threes, but he was pretty bad for the last couple of games. So
terrible, like, on defense though.
Yeah, that was just abysmal. Say what you want about KJ McDaniels, but like whenever you see him out there, like he'll miss a fair amount of his shots, but like he has the athleticism to stay with, like at least stay decently with like his offensive player, and like he does play with effort when he actually gets time in the rare games that he does. So like you were saying, like it would be nice to see them give some of the younger guys some run, because having Jason Terry out there basically is playing with like four defensive players on the court, because he just can't stop anybody anymore. He's just like, I can't even blame him, because he's like what, almost 40. He's just too slow to defend to people now, and basically all he's out there to do is just spot up and try and chuck up some threes, which he isn't hitting.
Yeah, when he's hitting the threes, you know, it's all good. But like, yeah, I don't know what his percentages are recently, but I mean, he seems to be on like somewhat of a cold stretch.
Stretch, cold year, I would say. He has not been playing very well, it seems.
Yeah, I think he had like a couple weeks where he was shooting really well, but yeah, he's overall lower than at least last year. He was like okay last year, I remember.
Yeah, last year it seemed like he was having kind of a resurgent year. Like he was definitely playing well, but then we were playing with like towards the end of the season, we're playing with no Beverly, and he kind of had to get more run. And I guess that maybe helped him, knowing that he was like giving him like that secure minutes per game. But yeah, this season it just seems like he's just fallen off, and As bad as people want to like make fun of KJ, like I would love to see him just get some run, even if he is a negative on the court at some point. He can't be worse than Jason Terry at this point.
Exactly.
So I guess, did you guys want to just jump into these games? Like we only have two, but I guess we should just jump in.
Yeah, that sounds good. Fun.
Sweet. So first game from the All-Star break. Rockets beat the Phoenix Suns 116-100. Like, we pretty much controlled this game, which was good to see, but it is against the Suns. But before the game, it was like Josh Smith actually was got the start for this game. So like just gauging that move, like obviously we didn't have T. Jones, but like I guess it's just kind of like roll out whatever you can at this point, because we're a pretty injured team, and I guess like Josh Smith was the last power forward option that we had. That was kind of weird.
He seemed like the almost there for defensive purposes only, because Capella, like, I mean, that we tried that. I mean, it was okay in some, you know, regards, but then I think people kind of scouted that and just because of the fact that, you know, he doesn't really have any range, you know, him and Howard both don't, you know, so, I mean, you need like a forward that, you know, is big enough to guard, you know, other power, you know, bigger power forwards, you know, but then also, you know, can score outside of, you know, 5 feet. So I mean, that's kind of like a logical, you know, way to go, I suppose.
I suppose that's true, but like I think the in the end the record with Capella and how it's starting, I think it ended up being a losing record, but just like not in this game particularly, but like it just like our interior defense was seemed to be a lot better when they were on the court together, like playing like concurrent minutes, and it doesn't seem like the case when we've got any of our other power forwards on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the other thing, because Josh Smith played a lot better last year. I mean, I think that's really the difference between this year and last year, is like Josh Smith last year was a lot better. Terrence Jones was, you know, well, not a lot better, but like slightly better. He seems to be on a down year here. And then obviously Demo with the injury, you know, so I mean, and I don't want to say like that's the reason why our defense is 25th or whatever it is overall this year, but it's like in the bottom 20 or in the bottom, you know, third of the league. But I mean, that's, you know, that's probably like the number one reason I would say is the difference, you know, because I mean, there aren't really, I mean, maybe the coach might be up there too, but I mean, that's probably a big reason why the defense hasn't been as good.
Yeah, like I don't even know really how to put it into words other than the fact that just like basically all year, like we've just been giving up layup after layup, and our interior defense is just dreadful. It's just, you see it every game, and I don't even know how to fix it. So I don't even know if there's any point in bringing it up anymore.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it's just like, you know, a new coach, like defensive minded. I mean, we brought up Thibodeau, like, you know, time after time, he'd be like a solid guy. Because I mean, we have like the defensive talent. I mean, you just kind of need to, like, you know, I mean, maybe power forward is like the only, you know, question mark. But I mean, because it's like you look at these other teams that are playing good defense, and they have like questionable talent, like that. You know, they don't have like a, you know, Trevor Ariza, you know, on the wings or something. It's just they kind of have a good defensive philosophy, and they, you know, that's what they're able to do. You know.
Yeah, that was very evident in the Utah game, but we will get to that later. But just to run through some stats, I guess. We actually out rebounded Phoenix 51-40 and 13-9 offensive. I think that's more due to the fact that Tyson Chandler actually exited the game in the second quarter, so that might have skewed the numbers, because I think Dwight only ended up with like 6 rebounds or something, so that was kind of weird to see. But yeah, we still out rebounded them because I don't even know why, but it just I guess Tyson Chandler exiting that game kind of helped us with that.
Yeah, that's probably why.
Yeah, he's been pretty good on the boards this season.
You're talking about Chandler or Tyson Chandler? Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Tyson Chandler. We also got 16 steals, so that's about our average. Like I think we averaged about 14, but we got 16 this game and 37 fast break points. But those are the good stats. Now time to run off some bad stats. The Houston bench was no uncertain terms shit in this game and the Utah game. Pardon the language, but 28 points, and nobody other than Harrell and Capella, who got about 10-11 points a game. No, I know 10-11 points in this game rather, but Brewer, Lawson, KJ, and Jason Terry, they actually combined for 1 of 12 on field goals. So I guess I'll throw this one to Max. Like, how fun? Like, were you able to see this game, Max? I think you might have said that you weren't able to see it.
I did not see it for whatever reason. Don't know what I was doing. Didn't realize there was a Rockets game on. The Rockets haven't really been inspiring me to go seek them out very often this season, so it's not the most surprising thing ever. But yeah, I didn't even realize this was a game. I was surprised we were doing the podcast. I was like, oh, we're doing it after only one game back, and then you guys reminded me that I'm an idiot. So,
I would never say that. Yeah, okay, then I guess I'll throw it to Jeff. Like, you were able to see this game, I think, and like, how jarring was that to realize that those four bench guys actually combined on 1 for 12 on field goals?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think defensively, too, that the bench was kind of bad, because, like, I remember, and then in the plus and minus, you have like, you know, the starters essentially are like, you know, plus 28, plus 30, you know, 9, 38. And then the bench guys, you know, minus 19, minus 22. And this is in like a 16 point loss. So, or 16 point victory, I should say. So that, I mean, yeah, I mean, it was like offensively and defensively, but like, when the starters were in the game, like the defense was like really, cause like Ariza was like 5 steals. And I mean, they looked like they were putting like a lot more effort. Like, it just seemed like, okay, I mean, again, that's against Phoenix, so you got to kind of like keep that in mind. But like, they were trying to close out on, you know, defenders at the 3-point line and, you know, and double, you know, with more intensity and all that, you know, that whole situation.
I don't know if you guys remember, real quick, just to bring this up after talking about that, before the Golden State game last year, I heard a lot of people talking about that the chance we had of winning the Rockets, that is that we were a deeper team. And now it's just really, really funny to even bring that up, that I think Shaq was the first one to say it. And I actually agreed with him then. I was like, man, we're actually pretty deep, and we could give them a run for money over the bench. And now, I mean, some are regarding them as one of the deepest teams of all time, whereas we are, as you said, minus 19, some of our guys on the bench.
Oh, man, it was pretty terrible. But
how the tables have turned.
Oh, no, not in, like, the worst possible way.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, but I guess just like just to piggyback off what you were saying, Jeff, like I did notice that as you were saying that the defense did seem to improve this game. There might have been just like the reinvigorated energy from the guys after the break, but I did see that like they were a lot more like pressuring than they usually are. Like they were doubling the ball and closing out better on 3-point shooters, but like that was actually pretty good to see. Like we played a pretty good defensive game, and I think just like a stat that is it kind of in the long run is meaningless, but this was actually the third game in 17 games where we actually held the team under 50 points in a half in like the first half. So like it kind of spoke to the defensive intensity that we played in this game. But yeah, like it's just these kind of games, like you kind of can't take them too seriously just because of the level of the team that you're playing. But I guess it was just cool to see that we can play defense well when our guys really log in and try.
Yeah, I can agree with that, definitely.
Do you think that the Phoenix Suns fans are like sad that they lost to the Houston Rockets?
Oh no, they're trying to get good picks, man. They want to lose as many as they can.
That's actually a good point, but I was just kind of saying it tongue in cheek, like, oh gosh, we lost to those lowly Rockets. What kind of team are we? Like, but you know, you're right. They definitely want to lose. They're racing the Lakers to that first pick.
Yeah, everyone seems to like. There's those lower teams, and then somehow I hear in like other podcasts and even from commentary teams, like we kind of get lumped in that just above kind of like bad team level.
We're not nearly bad enough to compete for, you know, a good player or a good pick, but we're definitely above. Not good.
Yeah, we're like a level above tank, but a level below decent. Man,
well, at least we're not tanking, right?
Yay! I guess so. Oh, just another little like stat to blow your mind, Max. Considering that you weren't able to actually catch this game. In those one of 12 on field goals, the person that made the field goal was KJ McDaniels. That was that's kind of weird. Oh man!
Yeah, well, I did talk about him. I think in our last podcast, you know, that he looked like a really good player before we got him, and then we just like never seemed to give him playing time. So I mean, you know, maybe he just needs some more minutes or something to switch it up.
Yeah, just set free KJ. He can be a breakout player. I know it.
Start the hashtag in Houston. Free KJ.
Exactly. Unleash KJ.
I like unleash better.
Yeah, just like gives it that a little bit more oomph, I guess. Man, just to run through the starter stats, because that's really the only thing that really matters, because as I said, the bench was terrible. And like, except for Smith, like all the starters actually scored at least 15 points. Dwight had 15, 6, and 3 steals. Bev had 8, like a surprisingly high scoring game for Beverly. He actually had 18, 2 assists, and 6 rebounds. Ariza had a pretty fantastic night. 25 points, 3 assists, 6 rebounds, and 5 steals, and was 4 for 7 from 3. And Harden had a pretty good night as well. Almost had a triple-double. 27, 7, 10 rebounds, and 3 steals. But he was only 6 for 16 on field goals, which is kind of weird to see. Like, usually he, one, he actually usually gets more shots than that, and he definitely makes more shots from that. And it was only 1 for 9 from 3. And yeah, a lot of his points were from the line. Like, was there anything you guys saw in this game that you liked from those guys? Like, obviously, the hot shooting from Ariza was kind of a pivotal thing for this game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like, I like that Beverly and Ariza have been stepping up more often than not, you know, the past couple months. I mean, the Harden thing, like, actually, I'm kind of surprised that he was able to get the 27 points even, because usually PJ Tucker is plays him defensively well, so maybe it was the fact that Chandler, you know, left the game early and that kind of like threw a wrench into their defensive plan. I don't remember what he had at the half.
Like on the defense of Tucker, like he as I said, like yeah, he was only 6 for 16 and 1 for 9 on from three, so he didn't really have a great shooting night, but yeah, a lot of his points were from the line, like 14 of 17 from the free throw line. So, like I think the defense, like all in all, was okay on him in terms of like giving him bad shots, but yeah, he was able to get his points from the line and in the end, and yeah, 27 points. You can't really argue with that, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of shocking that he drew that many fouls, just because like you would think there's. I don't know. I mean, you'd think that like the what do you call it? Like the scouting report would be out on him, where it's like, okay, don't like reach in and foul him, and just put like a good defender on him and like let him.
The thing is that players don't even reach in, but he's just so good at throwing his body at them. He's mastered what Kobe started, or maybe Michael Jordan started. He's just mastered the I'm gonna make you foul me. And you, there's nothing you can do about it. So it's not even that they're not playing good defense. Like that one in the game last night near the end of the game where Gordon Hayward, quote unquote, fouled him. I mean, Gordon played good defense. He brought his arms up into him, and he did it in such a way that the refs didn't even notice, and some of the commentators didn't even realize that it was it's technically, I guess, a foul on the offense. But I mean, he's so good at it, you know, and he gets the calls so often that that's just, you know, part of his game.
Yeah, that was pretty great to watch. Like especially when you see it on the replay, like he literally like barely gets his arm down at all, and then as soon as he even puts that arm down, because you can see James just like gauging.
Yeah, he's
just
waiting for it. Yeah, yeah. He's pump faking to get him to do that, and in the moment he does it, before he can react to bring his hands down, he starts bringing his hands back, like, oh man, he's got me, and then he forces the contact.
Oh, it was great. Like he was kind of like, as you said, like it was pump faking him, and Hayward was just like rocking his arms back and forth, and you could see James just timing it, and then as soon as that arm went down, like bam, James just got his arms up and drew the foul. It's just like that's why he's like my favorite player in the league. He's just this is little things. Like obviously there are things you can say about him that aren't great, but just like when you see it, like you can see why he's one of the better players in the league right now. It was so great to watch.
I'm really glad he's on our team. That would be a really, really frustrating thing to have to play against.
Yeah.
It's you know, those smart players, it's just like, oh, everyone hates playing against those guys. It's just like they're taking advantage of the rules, and you know, it's almost like a thing where, oh, well, they can't beat us normally, so they have to do this thing. But I mean, he's just so good at it, you know.
Well, and the majority of his fouls, he's actually going towards the rim and like trying to like get a shot up. Like it's Because it's not like a...
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not trying to say that he's only good at one thing. I mean, obviously, he's had games where he barely gets fouled at all and puts up 45 points in a night. But it's just another part of his game that almost nobody else has to that level that he can just do that nobody else can do. And it's you're right, Jazz. It is one of the things that make him... that set him apart from the rest of the people in the league and make him such a great player.
If only he could defend.
He can. We've seen that he can.
I know he can.
If only he could on a consistent basis, yeah.
The worst part about it.
Jazz, that's a great soundbite for this entire season. We know that they can, and that's the worst part about it. It'd be one thing if this team was mired in obscurity the way they are, and we didn't have the season we had last year. If we didn't have the season we had last year, people would be thinking, okay, well, maybe it's just taking an extra year for Dwight and Harden to mesh. And, you know, they're losing to some bad teams, but they're beating some good teams. And, you know, they're just, you know. But in the context of after what happened last year, we know what they're capable of, and they're just completely letting us down every, you know, night in and night out.
Man, that actually reminds me... Because what was it last year? Because I always think like if we hadn't had the season we had last year, because I mean we could like with the injury, because like if y'all probably remember, you know, all the injuries we had last year. If we had just been like a 41 team or something, which would have been perfectly acceptable, people would have been, you know, it would have been like a, because remember like a, what was it, we traded Jeremy Lin and then let Parsons go for. And then signed Ariza, essentially. Like, it wasn't really a trade, but I mean, effectively, like we let one go and then signed the other.
Yeah, people lot of people thought that we were going to have a down year because of that, because of the whole Chris Bosh thing falling through. Everybody was banking on Chris Bosh coming, and then when he didn't, everybody kind of just assumed, okay, well, we'll be a little, you know, we'll be a late round, you know, a late seed, 7 or 8 seed, maybe 6 if we're lucky. And that was the expectations.
Yeah.
So continue. I'm sorry.
Well, no, yeah, I mean, basically, I was just going to say what you said is, like, if we hadn't had the season we had last year, like, that would have been the people, I mean, Daryl Morey's job actually might have been at risk because, like, the gambit he took with letting Parsons go, you know, would have failed, and then it's like, okay, you know, like, that's, but I mean, I guess that goes back
that's
to the fact that we
point.
Didn't have
that's
the season we
point.
Had last year, so, I don't know, I mean, I kind of... I mean, of course, I don't like that we're having the year we're having this year, but I'd rather we had the season we had last year because, like, that means that, like, there is, like, some hope that, like, again, like, I'm kind of in the camp that it's the coach and, you know, we just need to coach, like, with more experience and, you know, can maybe get more out of these guys.
It's just so frustrating. Like, like, just going back to that defense, like, I've seen James defend guys perfectly one on one. I've seen him like we've all seen him stop a 3-on-1 fast break where he just like crushed the offense and just like got a steal out of it. But just like the lack of effort sometimes is just so infuriating that like I don't want to feel this way when I'm watching like my team and my favorite player just. Oh my! I don't even want to think about it. Man, even in a win, we always end on a down note.
Well, we had a good defensive game last. I mean, I guess we're just talking about in general, but yeah. So, or have we started talking about the Jazz game yet? Or I don't remember.
That's as good of a segue as any, Jeff.
okay. Yeah. So, just last night we did lose to Utah in overtime. 117-114. This game actually marked the return of Terrence Jones as the auspicious return of T. Jones, like the getting a whole like 3 points, I think it was. Joking aside, he did come back from his car accident before the All Star break, so it's good to see him healthy and back on the court. No real injuries coming out of it, so. We can't really say too much about like how poorly he played this game because he's been off the court for like 2 or 3 weeks at this point. So hopefully this isn't like a marker for how he ends the season. But not a great game. But as I said, we can't really hold it against him. Like, we, do you guys, are we guys kind of
yeah, I mean,
excited to see him back?
Well, I mean, I'm excited to see him back, but I mean, I'd be excited to see him have a good game, you know, as well.
So, yes, like, definitely.
I'll wait for that to happen.
I'm a little bit more somber than Jeff in the sense that it's going to take a lot more to get me excited this season from this team.
Oh, man.
It's going to need to take, you know, like a 4 or 5 game win streak for me to even, because I'm not going to get excited after 1 or 2 games because it's just not worth it.
Would a 60-point game from James Harden excite you at this point, or even if it wasn't a loss, like, would that just
Yeah, I mean, I get excited every time so I'm really, really negative on this podcast a lot, and I don't mean to say that I don't get excited watching the game. I mean, James Harden does things every single night that make me excited, that make me, you know, happy. It's great to watch as a fan of the game of basketball, but just in the context of the season, it would take a lot for me to get excited. You know, like, I'll get excited. I'll cheer. Like last night at the end of the game, you know, I was into it just like any fan would be. But at the same time, like, even if we had pulled that game out last night in overtime, you know, in a big emotional win, I still would be tempered in my excitement for the season. Is, you know, I would need a lot more to go on rather than just a few games. The sample size is too large at this point.
A little bit of a flash forward. Like, if we, like, I think one of our last games of the season is against the Lakers. Like, if by then it's clear that we're not making the playoffs and we're not really playing for anything, I just want James to just, like, it just to excite, just to give the fans something to cheer for. I just want him to just go bananas and just try to break Kobe's what is, like, does Kobe have the record 81. For most points in a game? Yeah, the 81. I just wanted to go.
No, well, he has the second most points in a game. The most is Wilt Chamberlain's famous 100. But Kobe has the most, like, by a non-god. Because I think Wilt Chamberlain in that game, like, he was possessed by either God or the devil. And he was a foot taller than anybody else. And just, you know, he just had a game that will never be matched. So Kobe's is like the actual record that anybody can actually touch.
But just, like, just if it does turn out, like, hope, like, knock on wood, just hopefully, like, this isn't the case. But if it does turn out that we're not going to make the playoffs and we have that Lakers team at the end of the season, like, how good would it be if just James just took his frustrations out and just went crazy and tried to get as many points as he could?
I would absolutely love to see that. Are you kidding me? That'd be great. Like, just because, like, you know, just give everybody something to watch for. Like, who cares about the one win? You want to get a better draft pick, and you want to get more balls in the lottery. You want to sell some tickets. So yeah, score 82. That'd be awesome.
The worst part is that the Toyota Center will probably be empty because nobody will want to come to the game.
I don't know about it. Maybe. Well, not for Kobe's. It'll be Kobe's last game in Houston. I mean, they'll sell the tickets. Yeah.
It'll be full of purple and gold, though. No red.
Yeah, well, they deserve it at this point. So they've done this to themselves, Jazz. Don't make excuses for them.
You guys have to go to the Toyota Center and represent Houston.
Why don't you come? You come with us, Jazz.
Yeah. Like, I'll fly halfway around the world. I would love to do that.
What's a ticket to the Houston from Australia New Zealand cost?
I think it's like 10,000 Australian.
No way.
New Zealand. I'm Australian.
Oh, I thought you were. Okay, I get them mixed up. They're like the same thing. It's like Lord of the Rings and Crocodile Dundee.
Wow.
That's all I know.
It is fairly expensive, though. Like, I would love to come see Lakers versus Rockets, because, like, that game would probably be an offensive showcase, as I said. But oh man, if I can scrounge up that amount of money, like, for sure, I'd be on the first plane there.
10,000 Australian, is that? Do you have any idea how that converts? Because that seems like an extreme amount of money.
It's like, I think it's for you guys about, like, $5,000 American.
That's an insane amount of money for one plane ticket.
Yeah, and I'll be there for like a day, and then I come back. Like, I think it's like a 2-day flight or something.
Oh gosh.
Well, that's at the end of the season, and you'll have to keep listening to know if I decide to make the trip or not. But,
I like that.
I guess
good little hook.
Going back, yeah, give him something to hope for. Just going back to the Utah game, just a little bit of a story of the game. I guess the main factors I wanted to point out were we allowed 34 first quarter points from Utah and allowed them to shoot 65% from the field on 11 of 17 shots. Like, I think the main story of that quarter was just I think it was Gordon Hayward and Derek Favors. They just I think they only missed like one field goal between them, like going for like 20 something points in that quarter. And and then in the fourth quarter, we allowed them to shoot 53% and 55% in the overtime. So I think you were saying, Jeff, that it was a kind of a good defensive game against Utah. Like, I don't think I agree with that as much as you do.
I was saying against the Suns. Like, I want to say, okay,
then sorry.
I mean, there were like, I think there were moments where we played good defense, but like overall, the first quarter. Yeah, it was like, I think they had like 65% from the field or something like that. Like, that was a kind of a crazy game.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, we, as I said, like in the first fourth and OT, like we played pretty bad defense, but I think we outscored them in the second and third. So, like, we that's how we brought it back from what was the largest lead by Utah in this game? It was something like 20 or something.
No, well, I want to say it was 13 or something like that.
Well, it was a pretty big number at some point, but yeah, like we're able to bring it back in those middle quarters. But yeah, just the like 65% of the first quarter. That's kind of just oh my god, it's just not very good. Is what I'm trying to say. But
and I don't think the Jazz are like a great offensive team either. So this is another one of those, because they're more known for their defense. So it's another one of those situations where we're like letting a subpar offensive team, you know, go crazy on us. Like, that's kind of not a good thing to have happen.
And yeah, like just to piggyback off that point about their defense, like I think this is more like, I don't want to like take this as a point of my own, but the Jazz announcers are actually like, we're really good about kind of like noting that they were doubling Harden on every single pick and roll, which is basically like the key to their defense, because they knew it was always going to James, and they had obviously Harden had a pretty explosive night, but in the first part of the game, like they were really clamping down on James, and it was kind of bad considering our defense on them was basically trying to foul them on every drive, and it was not great, as I've said before, and Hayward ended up with a pretty good night and extremely efficient as well.
Man, I want to say, I guess going back to the Jazz's defense, I want to say, like, they had, Harden had, like, three turnovers in the first quarter or something, or maybe he ended up with five for the game, but, like, or if it wasn't, like, three turnovers by himself, maybe he, like him, you know, them trying that pick and roll led to, like, you know, X number of turnovers. Like, I want to say we had, like, 9 or 10 in the first quarter, and I guess, I almost want to like follow up the coaching staff, because I think it was kind of like somewhat well known that this is kind of what they do to put guys like James Harden, is they want to try to like trap on the pick and roll and like force them to make a bad pass and then they'll get the steal and all that. Like, so you think they would be better prepared, you know, for that to happen. And it seemed like they adjusted like in the middle of the game. Like, so I don't know. That was kind of weird.
Yeah, like I think it was like after the half, like they ended up switching Gordon Hayward onto James Harden, and I'm not sure who defended him before that, but once he started going nuts, Hayward kind of had to move on to the defensive assignment on him, but running through some stats for Houston, we shot 41% from the field and only 32% from three, but we did make 11. Of 34 shooting to Utah's 51% field goal and 10 of 24 shooting, so that was good for 42% from three. We did basically get our average on steals again, like nothing really crazy to note there, like 15 steals, 18 fast break points. But once again, as noted in previous games, our bench was pretty bad again. Like, obviously, like there was that clutch three by Jet, but we did the bench only was outscored 19-33. This time they combined for 6 of 24 from the field, And yeah, as I said, one made three from Jason Terry. But just like once again, like this bench unit, I don't even know, man. Like these were good players last year, and it just seems like the starters will get us to a pretty good position, and then as soon as like James goes out or Dwight goes out, we just get killed, and then we have to play from behind again.
Well, we don't really have any like ball movement when our starters are on the court. I mean, it's kind of like a black hole to James Harden, which isn't always a bad thing because he's, as we said, one of the most dynamic scorers in the league. But when the bench comes on, like we don't have a creator. We don't have anybody that can create their own shot. And we don't move the ball like we did last year. I hesitate to mention Pablo Prigioni. But the guy could move the ball at least somewhat. He had some handles to him on offense anyway. And it's just like so stagnant. Like I just don't know. They're just not trying to create a shot. They're just all kind of standing in the corner. And it's because we have a bunch of stand-in-the-corner guys. I mean, that's really all that Jason Terry and Corey Brewer amount to, is they're a stand-in-the-corner guy on offense.
That's definitely true. And like you kind of hope that Jet would kind of move into that Prigioni role where, like, yeah, you're right. Like Prigioni, as kind of old, and he was still kind of slow, in terms of like himself. But he was able to get the ball moving. Whereas like even Jet was able to do that last year. And I guess having him as that bench guy, that kind of like you would hope that he would be that still that kind of guy. But as you said, is basically just relegated to running to one of the corners and we have like four guys around the perimeter and nobody moves, and it's just kind of frustrating. Like once again, frustrating to see just like one person will be like driving to the hoop and then kick it out, and then another guy will try driving, and that's basically the offense. Like there's no movement around the perimeter, there's no trying to find the open man. There's just like, here, take the ball, you go in, if you can't get it, kick it out, and then they'll try. If they can't do it, then we'll hit a bad, they don't try to hit on a bad three.
Mm-hmm.
Well then, just to run through the starters, Smith had 8 points this game. He actually had, I think, two threes in this game, but didn't really amount to anything. But Howard had a double-double, 13 points, 16 rebounds, and 3 blocks. We'll get to those blocks later, kind of frustrating me again. We will touch on that at the end. Beverly had 14 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, and 3 steals. He had 2 threes of his own. Ariza had a pretty decent night. Once again, he was 4 for 7 from 3, so like that was the second game in a row that he did that. And he had 18 points and 4 steals, which is the big stat from him. And just the big stat was James Harden. He had 42 points, only 4 assists, 5 rebounds, and 2 steals. But I guess we'll kind of contrast this to Gordon Hayward. But Harden was 16 of 30 from the field, and he was 2 for 7 from 3, but had 5 turnovers. And just to kind of contrast that with Utah's star, Gordon Hayward, he had 28 points, 5 assists, and 7 rebounds on 6 made shots. That is an extremely efficient night, and I was kind of like amazed. Like a lot of his points was like from the line. He was 13 of 15, but at a certain point, like as I said, we just kept fouling him on reach-ins, and that's kind of how he got a lot of his points. But 6 for 7 from the field, like you don't usually see that ending up in 28 points.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, pretty solid night from him, I would say.
I would hesitate, though. Yeah. I think you said he was their star. I think I would hesitate to call Mr. Gordon Hayward a star. I mean,
I think he's just that level below. Like he'll I think he'll be there in the next couple of years.
We'll see. I think he's a good. I mean, when you're in Utah, I mean, somebody's got to score, so somebody looks like a star. But remains to be seen. He's been getting better and better. He's filled out a lot since college. I mean, he was a little, you know, tiny little guy in college. So we'll see. I don't think he's going to be like a star. But
is this his second year or his third year?
I want to say it's fifth or sixth or something.
Oh, wow. That seems like not that longer. But I think me and you disagree on this point, Max. I think in a couple of years, if they make a couple of moves, I think the Jazz will be they'll be moving up in the standings. Not this year, obviously, but I think next year, and I think that'll be on the back of Gordon Hayward because he's just a good all around player. Like he's a solid defender, and obviously we've seen he can hit threes, and I think he's one of those do it all guys. Like, okay, he's not going to be like LeBron James, Dwayne Wade level star, but like he can be like that Chris Bosh kind of star where he's kind of like not like the top of the line, but he'll be that like middle of the pack star.
I mean, I can see that as a possibility. I guess I'll wait and see.
This isn't a Jazz podcast, although there is a Jazz on this podcast, but it's not a Jazz podcast.
Nice.
Moving on. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to bring up? I did want to bring up something about this game, but I'll ask you guys first. Is there anything you guys wanted to bring up about this game that you liked or didn't like, or maybe you just wanted to complain about all the turnovers off bounce passes?
I have something that I really, really, really need to complain about this game. Okay, so
we might have the same one.
I don't know about that, but we'll see.
Okay,
so Jason Terry obviously hit a really nice three at the end of regulation to, you know, what 10 seconds left to send the game to overtime. You know, nice three, a very good play. Bill Worrell, the announcer, you know, he's been the announcer for a long, long time here, back to the days of Calvin Murphy and Bill Worrell. I don't have any ill will towards the guy. He's a little bit of a homer, but I mean, he's our home announcer, so big deal. Anyway, so Jason Terry hits that three, and then coming back from break, Bill Worrell says, Jason Terry's made a lot of big shots in his life, none bigger than the three he just made. And I almost turned off the stream at that point.
It's like, I'm not even watching overtime. Like, I'm not.
I was like, does Bill Worrell know that this guy's, you know, won a championship? That he's hit threes in the playoffs? This is a regular season game of a sub-500 team against another sub-500 team fighting to see who can get embarrassed more by the Warriors in the first round of the playoffs. He just said that was one of the that no shot that man's made in his career has been bigger than that. As you can see, I'm losing it right now.
Thing. He's probably hit bigger threes against the Rockets, like when he was in Dallas. Like that.
Exactly, he's hit five bigger threes against the Rockets than that shot last night. It was a good shot, but it was just, oh my gosh, I could not take that. Like you said, Jazz, hyperbole on that. Oh, it hurt.
Hey man, Bill Worrell doesn't call finals games. Maybe it was just like the biggest shot that he's seen in person.
Oh god, that's so sad. No, Bill Worrell was I think he was the announcer in the championship years. Let's I'm gonna look that up now because
he
should know better.
I meant from Jason Terry.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, yeah, that's definitely the biggest shot he's probably seen. Like I said, he's seen Jason Terry put us to sleep.
We played him in the first round. Like, I want to say the first or second year that McGrady was on the team.
Yeah, and Jason
that
Terry
went to like seven games, and yeah, Jason Terry had a couple of good shots.
Jason Terry.
Yeah.
Jason Terry used to make every shot that the Mavericks needed against us. I hated the guy. That's why I was so excited when he came, and then that's the no shot is bigger. Oh my gosh.
Hey, that's what they call a big shot Terry.
I guess so.
Oh, man. Before we get to my biggest complaint, did you have anything you wanted to note about this game, Jeff? Or are you good?
No, I mean, I don't really have anything to add.
Like, the thing I wanted to bring up, it's like, this was kind of like pointed out by the Jazz announcers. Like, I think this kind of piggybacks off that the Portland game that I was complaining about last week where Dwight was smiling and doing that kind of shit. Like, were you guys as annoyed as I was? And, like, I think it might have been a little bit of bleed from the Jazz analysis because that's the feed that I got. But were you guys as annoyed as I was at that play where he blocked, I think he blocked, I guess it was Gobert twice, and then he he like started like smiling and playing with the crowd, and he like it didn't even realize that he had to get back on offense. Where we could have, if he had just done like a line drive to the basket, then he probably could have gotten a decent layup or dunk off that. Like, was that as annoying to you guys as it was to me, or is it just me?
I don't, just in
a bad place with Dwight right now.
I don't really think I noticed him not like coming back on offense. I guess maybe that's just like
he literally didn't make it past half court.
I mean that doesn't surprise me. I know what you're talking about because I remember he got like two blocks in a row, and I mean they were like good blocks, like good, and it led to, that was great, and we didn't score on the play afterwards, but I guess that chalk it down to like you know him just you know for whatever reason not getting back on offense, you know, for you know.
So, Jazz, I brought this up to you a few weeks ago when you first started noticing Dwight's lackadaisical attitude towards winning and such. And I said, you're going to start noticing this more and more that this happens, that he just does things that you just can't explain. He would rather try to show up the crowd. So some guys, some Mormon guys in Utah scrounged up enough dough to go see the Jazz play against the hated Rockets. And they want to say some choice words to this multi, you know, millionaire that's, you know, one of the most successful men in the building by far, obviously. And he doesn't have the mental fortitude to just let his own actions speak for themselves. He has to play with the crowd. And it's just, this is the reason that he's just never going to be a winner. It's just, he doesn't have the mental aptitude for it. And like I said, you're noticing it more and more, Jazz, and welcome to hell.
It is hell. It is very much like my own personal Dwight Howard hell. Because like
too many Rockets fans, in my opinion, make excuses for him.
I was one of those
guys. I've always felt this way. And you know, those Rockets fans are the same ones that when he was in Orlando and in L.A., we're ripping him for the same exact things. The same things are happening now. It's not like he came to Houston and became this way. He's been this way his whole career, and it's just never gotten better.
Like I still give him a certain amount of leeway just because, like, you can't argue with, like, he's still a decently effective player. Like, he averages, like, 15 and 12, like, at this point of his career. He's like, 31 years old. But, like I don't want to give him any shit on the, on his actual play, because like that was a great play to start it off. Like he had like these two great blocks on Gobert, one of like the premier shot blockers in the league, and just like that, as you said, like lack of mental fortitude, where he basically does the Dikembe Mutombo finger wag for like what seemed like 5 seconds to the crowd, not realizing that the play was continuing on the other end of the court, and it was like, dude, just. You, like, as you said, just I think one of the Utah announcers said this, just like act like you've been there before. Just like you know you're one of the best, like one of the best centers in the league, or you at least were like known as the best center in the league for a while. Like be humble. Just do it and move on. You don't have to show off about it.
I mean, or show off, but then like still get back on offense somehow. Like I think Steph Curry He splits the difference because I mean he'll be cocky and show off, but like usually what he'll do is he'll do like something like he'll like turn back before the shot even goes in, like that kind of cockiness where it's like I know it's going to go in before, you know. So it's like he's still getting back on defense, but like doing the celebratory, you know.
He's also not in the 9 spot for the playoffs, and you know won a championship. He's what 10 years younger and got twice as many accomplishments as Dwight will ever have in his career, you know.
He's earned the right.
He's earned the right. Dwight hadn't earned shit in his whole career and never will. Sorry. I'm sorry. I get really amped up talking about it, Jazz.
Well, and I mean, like
a lot of pent up anger.
Even other guys on our team, like James Harden, he'll do the, like, you know, I'm cooking, you know, stirring the pot thing, but he'll still, I mean,
He's not going to do that in a fan's face for 8 seconds while the rest of the team goes and tries to make a shot.
He still finds a way to, like, get back on defense, like, reasonably. I mean, as much as we complain about his lack of defense, that's not the reason why, you know, he's not playing defense.
No, exactly.
Like, he can wag his finger all he wants. Just, like, do it while you're running down the court. Just wag him right in the air. Just as long as you're just, like, making it past half court on an offensive possession. Just, like, do whatever the hell you want. Just don't, just like, lag back. And, like, look like you don't give a damn. Oh, man. That I've so turned on Dwight. Like at this when we started this podcast, like I was so I'm still so hyped about it. Like whenever I watch his highlights, I'm just like he was one of the main reasons I got into the league. Like not into the league, I'm not a player. When I got into watching the NBA, I was like, ah, this guy's so fun to watch. And when I started watching, especially in the playoffs, like he was fun to watch. Like he is still fun to watch, but just. Ah, just those frustrating little like mental lapses, and I'm just like, oh god damn, and now I'm just like, oh, I'm closer to Max's side than anything. Like I used to be such a Dwight supporter, now I'm just like a Dwight hater. I guess you would call me. I'm like, far out. Like I can't even put into words why like what has happened to me in this podcast when it comes to Dwight. Oh man, rant over. Oh man, no, that was kind of a downer again. I guess just we'll move on from that game. We're done with Utah. Like we've got like one game left against them. That'll be the deciding. Like if we only have one game left against them, right?
Oh yeah, I believe.
I think.
Yes, sir.
And then, like we've already won against them twice. So is the tiebreaker like does it just move on to like the conference record if we lose to them again? Oh no! If we go 2-2, like oh, if we lose to them again, then it'll be tied, and then you're right.
Yes,
it'll. All right, cool. So that's something to look forward to. I don't think we played them again for a while, so we'll get to that when we get to that. But moving on to some probably not very more not very happy news. We've got three games this week. We'll do the previews, I guess. First game in the week. We're at Portland again on Thursday, tomorrow rather. We just lost against this team twice, and they're actually on a 6-game winning streak. And surprisingly, they've won 11 out of the last 12 games, which obviously, as I said, includes us twice, Memphis, Utah, and they had that blowout against Golden State. So, yeah, and Damian Lillard has actually scored 30 points in his last 5 games, so... before we move on to the next game, like, how do you think that game is going to go, guys?
I mean, I guess, like, because, like, what is it? It's 3 games? I mean, I'd probably have to predict that we go 1-2, and losing to Portland and then San Antonio. I mean, the weird thing about Portland, though, is, because I think I don't know if I alluded to this earlier, but, like, in this time, I don't know what the recent streak that they've been on, but I mean, it's like 11 to 12 of the past games, but I think it's been kind of like, it's gone further than that even where, cause I mean, they were like one of the worst teams, going into like December and stuff like that. And now they've kind of been on this run for a while. And I mean, I think it's the defense that is like kind of what's getting there. But, and it's like that weird thing where like, you look at their team and it's like, wait, you know, who's playing defense on this team? Like, who is it? It's like, it's a Plumlee's center. Is it Vonleh's the power forward? And I'm trying to remember who. And then the two guard, the you know Lillard and is it McCollum or whatever his name is?
Yeah,
and I don't even know who the small forward is, but you know.
I think it's like Alfred Gamener.
Yeah, or something to that effect. And I think like he's the only like reputable defensive guy, Aminu, like on the team. So like on paper, it's like wait, how is this team like you know this good defensively? You know in the past you know month
they
or so,
they are fantastic at rebounding.
Yeah, rebounding as well. I mean, it's like, so that's kind of why I'm like, man, we can turn the defense around in Houston. Like, they're doing it in Portland, and like, I mean, Utah obviously they have the talent, you know, like with Gobert and like Haywood and stuff like that. That's kind of expected, but like teams like Portland, it's like, you know, where is this coming from?
I was like before the season started, like one of the guys that I watch a lot of basketball with, like he's actually a Portland Trailblazers fan, and before the season even started, we're basically saying like, oh, Houston's going to be such a great team this year. We're probably going to get like the 1 or 2 seed just because of the Ty Lawson addition, and we're basically just like saying, oh, Portland might be like they might be a lottery team because everyone left their team, but now they've only got Lillard and CJ's their shooting guard, and they're going to be really bad this season. Oh, how the tables have turned. Now they're like one of the hottest teams in the league right now. We're falling like a heavy turd in a bowl.
Amen, brother.
Well, like, yeah, just moving on to the next game. As you said, Jeff, we're actually at home for the first time in a while. Like, we're at home against San Antonio again. I think this is the last game against San Antonio for this year. So hopefully we can pray for not another 30-point blowout. That's what the best we can hope for. And then to end the week, we're actually at Milwaukee on Monday. So I think you said 2-1 for the week, Jeff.
Or 1-2, because I think we lose to Portland and San Antonio. And then, yeah, I mean, is Milwaukee? I don't remember how good is Milwaukee. I don't know, but
I think like 22-33 or something.
Yeah, so I mean, I on paper, a worse team than us. So I mean, this should be a game that you know that we win. I mean, hypothetically, sure, like all three games are winnable, but it's one of those things where like we've proven where we haven't been able to you know to consistently beat you know teams like Portland even and I mean definitely San Antonio, but like
I can see in my mind how that Portland game is going to go. Like the last two Portland games have kind of been the same, where we're like we get off to like a bad start, then we come back, and it looks like we're going to be able to like get back into it, but then they pull away. So I think I'm with you, Jeff. I think we're going to go 1-2, and I'm not like what do you think, Max? Like, are you thinking the same as us?
0-3, go for it.
He's going for it.
The collapse starts now.
Oh man, that's depressing to think about.
Starts now.
Wow, 28-32. That's not fun to think about. Well. Another segment on a downer. That's the running theme. Oh man. Yeah, I guess we can just move on from that. Did you guys have any recommendations for the week, or like anything you wanted to bring up, like inside or outside the NBA? Just thought we might bring this back.
Or I mean, I guess like I have something I could bring up.
Go for it, man.
Well, because I noticed that the Toronto Raptors have been like kind of on fire recently. Or I mean, maybe not on fire, but like. Because I don't think they were like considered a top team, but I mean they're definitely it's right now it's kind of like Cleveland, and then I think Toronto's like the number two seed currently, and it's like weird that I guess I would have thought that they would have had to have gotten there by defense, because their coach Dwayne Casey was the former like defensive coach of the Dallas Mavericks, the team that won the championship, but I mean they're actually kind of getting there they're actually getting there on the offensive end, like. And what was it? It's in the past, or since like the beginning of the year. I mean, not the season, like January 1st. They're like number three, like ranked offensively, like and like accounting for, or number four, I should say, actually. Which you know, it's the Golden State Warriors, the Spurs, the Cavs, and then the Raptors. And I mean, the defense is like just outside the top 10, I believe. But I mean, you know, I guess it's their offense that's kind of getting them there, which is like. What is it? Their leading scorer? It's DeRozan, and then Lowry, and then I mean, I almost before I looked it up, I couldn't name who the third best scorer would be. I want to say
Valanciunas, maybe.
Yeah, Valanciunas. Yeah, I'm like, wait, who else is on? I guess because they added Damari Carroll over the offseason, and he's the fourth leading scorer with 12 points.
They've got former number one pick Anthony Bennett.
Wow. Talk about a bust. That guy busted really quickly in the NBA. And the weird part is, the weird part is that like when they picked him, everybody thought like, what the hell are they doing? They just made a terrible pick. And then they tried to defend their pick, yada yada, and then it turned out to still be terrible.
Yeah, I mean that's about the fastest that someone's busted.
It's like the opposite of Porzingis, where everybody thought, oh, that guy's going to be terrible, and now he's actually being, you know, pretty decent. You know, some people think he's going to become a star, but worst case scenario, he's at least going to be a decent player in this league for a while. Everybody had thought, you know, terrible pick by the Knicks. But everybody thought terrible pick when they picked Anthony Bennett, and it's proved really quickly to be true.
Yeah.
So is your recommendation for the week to watch, like, pick a team that isn't the Rockets if you're feeling dejected about the team, and maybe watch someone that might actually be fun to watch?
My recommendation is to watch no Houston sports this week.
Oh,
I don't know. Do the Dynamo play right now? I mean, I have no idea about the Dynamo, but
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, they're the soccer team. Or football, as you would say in your country.
No. We'll say soccer.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not, we're not England.
I thought we were the only ones that said soccer.
Oh, I know it as soccer, at least. I don't know. I'm pretty sure everyone calls it soccer here.
Really? Okay, we thought we were alone here in America. We're not alone.
Australia has their own football league, so it's kind of confusing if you call soccer football as well. Australian facts, everybody.
Hey, we like to learn a little bit more about Australia each time we have this podcast.
Or New Zealand.
They're the same country.
Exactly. Right? We're not that far apart, so you might as well just like...
Is New Zealand part of the Australian continent? Because I know Australia is its own continent.
No. Like, New Zealand is a separate continent.
No, it can't be its own... It's a separate continent.
It is. It's part of the Commonwealth, but it's...
What part of continent is it on?
It's on its own continent.
You can't... That's, what, 8 continents in the world now? I've been taught there were 7 since I was a young child.
It's its own country, at least.
Yeah, but what about continent? It's on the Australian continent. You gotta be.
It's fairly far away from Australia. I can't imagine so.
Yeah, let's. Well, I'm going to look it up, and I'm about to school the Australian on New Zealand and Australian continent.
I'm not really that invested in New Zealand. This is geography talk with Jazz and Max and Jeff. Anything to get off the rockets. Oh, man. While you look that up, I guess I'll look up what you do my recommendation. I don't know if you guys watch, but The Walking Dead actually returned from their mid-season break. Do you guys watch The Walking Dead, or are you oblivious to it?
I've heard of The Walking Dead. I'm kind of like weird about like zombie themed stuff, so that's kind of what kind of turned me off from it. But like I know that it's a pretty good show. All my friends like watch it essentially.
I'm in the same boat as Jeff. It's actually on my Netflix queue. We'll watch it somewhere. Maybe after we finish, I think we're watching Star Wars, Clone Wars right now. My wife and I think it's in the running for the next show we'll watch whenever we finish that and before Game of Thrones comes back, etc. So,
Clone Wars is a good choice to make. I do enjoy that show when I catch it on TV.
We're nearing the end of season 2. I actually like that we're not watching Walking Dead yet because, as Jeff said, you know, everyone that I know has watched it and likes it. And I really like a show when it's finished and then you start watching it on Netflix and you get to watch it for like 6 days straight and not leave the house and forget what the sun looks like and, you know, just get to veg out on it.
Well, there is about 5 seasons in the show and it doesn't seem to be slowing down anytime soon. So I don't know if waiting for it, like you might be able to wait for it but it'd probably be like 3 years. But more or less, it's like I recommend it because just the opening episode of this mid season was just like if you're weird about zombies, like you say, Jeff, this probably isn't the best episode because there was a lot of balls out zombie action in this episode. So maybe not the best episode to jump in with, but I just recommend it because it's a good show. So there, like that'll keep me not so sad about Houston Rockets sports.
Yeah, good.
All right, so Ryan. We have real quick, Jazz, before we go. I know we want to wrap up, but I want to tell you about the 7 continents of the world. There are Africa, Antarctica, Asia, Europe, and North America and South America. We all know those 6. There's also one, and it's referred to either as Australia or Oceania.
All right.
Like so, the oceanic continent. And if you want to get really scientific about it, different continents are tectonically, it's on the Zealandia continent. So don't ask me what any of that means. The internet's a wonderful place, and those are the things I've learned today.
Continent conversation with Jazz, Jeff, and Max.
Okay, we gotta start recording that now because that's the new. If you thought our viewership or our listenership was high with this podcast, continent conversation is gonna be, you know, the number one trending podcast in the world pretty soon.
7 continents, that's at least 7 podcasts.
and that'll include Australia and New Zealand in one.
Are we gonna separate those, or is that gonna be its own mega podcast day?
We'll have like a special 8th podcast where we discuss Pangaea, the combined continent. I know a few things.
Alright, let's get the hell out of here.
This is getting really pudgy at this point of the show.
Exactly.
Alright, just a couple of housekeeping stuff. We're still on iTunes, so if you found us, it's kind of redundant to say, but just search 3 Men and a Beard on iTunes, and it'll be nice if you rate and review the show. Just helps get the show out there to people who might not be able to find it otherwise. Just bumps us up in search engines and such. You can also find all the post-game recaps on multiplesources.net/HoustonRockets. We try to get as many recaps on there, but you can also find on that same site, like if you just go to multiplesources.net, there'll be plenty of other podcasts and recaps for other teams in the league. But if you're a person like me that likes to just like listen to podcasts about other teams just to get a gauge of how other teams are doing around the league, and maybe get a little bit happy about your team if it's not doing well and they're doing worse. We also have an official Twitter account on the show. So if you search on Twitter at 3menandbeard13 on Twitter, you'll be able to find us. And you can also email the show at 3menandbeard@gmail.com. And if you just want to leave a question or like if you have anything you want us to bring up on the show, that'd be great. And we try to check that as often as possible. So other than that, I guess all that's left to say is go Rockets, guys.